Welcome back to Vasper Today. This is our special Q&A segment where we dig into your questions and go even deeper on the stories we covered earlier. Thanks to everyone who sent in such thoughtful questions. Let's get right to it.
Absolutely, Alex. And I have to say, our listeners did not hold back this week. First up, we've got a question from Priya in Chicago. She asks, with oil prices spiking and supply chains under stress, what can small business owners actually do right now to protect themselves? Is there anything practical beyond just cutting costs?
Great question, Priya. Here's an interesting angle. While you can't control global oil prices, you can get proactive with your contracts and logistics. For example, some businesses are renegotiating supplier agreements to include price adjustment clauses or even locking in rates for the next few months. Others are diversifying their suppliers, think local and regional options, to reduce exposure to international shipping costs.
I love that, but let's get real. Most small businesses don't have the leverage to rewrite contracts overnight. So imagine if you're running a bakery or a small delivery service. What's really happening here is you're forced to get creative. Maybe that means tweaking your menu to use less energy-intensive ingredients, or teaming up with neighboring businesses to bulk order supplies and share delivery costs. Sometimes the best defense is a scrappy offense.
Absolutely. And don't underestimate the power of data. Track your energy usage, spot trends, and adjust quickly. The businesses that survive 2026's volatility will be the ones that stay nimble and informed.
Speaking of volatility, here's a question from Mike in Dallas. Everyone's talking about energy and defense stocks booming, but could this rotation actually be a bad thing for the broader economy? What's the downside?
That's a sharp observation, Mike. When money floods into energy and defense, it often means less capital for innovation-driven sectors like tech and green energy. Over time, this can slow down the pace of technological progress and even job creation in those future-focused industries.
And consider this perspective. If investors pile into what's safe right now, we risk missing the next big thing. Imagine if the next breakthrough in AI or clean energy gets delayed because funding dried up in 2026. Sometimes chasing short-term safety can create long-term stagnation.
Exactly. It's a balancing act. While energy and defense are crucial in times of crisis, a healthy economy needs risk-taking and innovation. If this rotation lasts too long, we could see a drag on productivity and competitiveness down the line.
Now, let's pivot to a technical deep dive. Lena from San Francisco asks, how do strategic oil reserves actually work? When governments release reserves, does it really help, or is it just a headline move?
Love this question, Lena. Under the hood, strategic reserves are massive stockpiles of crude oil held by governments. Think of them as emergency savings accounts. When released, they can temporarily boost supply and ease price spikes. But here's the catch. The global oil market is enormous, and these releases are usually a drop in the bucket compared to daily demand.
So imagine if you're trying to put out a forest fire with a garden hose. It might slow things down for a day or two, but it doesn't solve the underlying problem. What's really happening here is governments are buying time, hoping markets calm down or supply chains adjust before reserves run out.
Exactly. It's a short-term fix, not a long-term solution. If the conflict drags on, those reserves can't be tapped forever, and prices could spike again once the buffer is gone.
Next up, we've got a future-focused question from Jamal in Atlanta. With the surprise jobs contraction and rising unemployment, where do you see the U.S. economy heading by 2028? Are we looking at a lost decade, or is there a path back to growth?
That's the million-dollar question, Jamal. If current trends continue, volatile energy prices, cautious hiring, and delayed Fed rate cuts, we could see a period of slow, uneven growth. But here's an interesting angle. Economic slowdowns often force companies to innovate and become more efficient. By 2028, we might see a leaner, more resilient economy, especially if new technologies or energy solutions emerge.
I'm a bit more skeptical, Alex. Consider this. If policymakers don't act boldly, think targeted stimulus or aggressive retraining programs, we could see persistent underemployment and wage stagnation. Imagine if a whole generation of workers gets left behind because the recovery is too slow or uneven. The next 2 to 3 years are critical for setting the tone.
Agreed. The choices made in 2026 will echo for years. It's not predetermined. There's still time to steer toward a stronger recovery, but it'll take smart policy and a willingness to adapt.
Last one for today, and it's a fun one. Rachel from New York asks, with Bill Ackman's Pershing Square IPO, does this mean regular investors should start piling into hedge fund IPOs, or is there a catch?
Here's what's really happening, Rachel. Hedge fund IPOs like Pershing Square's offer access to strategies that were once reserved for the ultra wealthy. But, and it's a big but, these vehicles come with higher fees, less liquidity, and sometimes more risk than traditional index funds.
And let's be honest, just because you can invest alongside a star manager doesn't mean you'll get star results. Imagine if the market turns and those complex strategies underperform. The hype is real, but so is the risk. My advice? Do your homework, read the fine print, and don't put all your eggs in one hedge fund basket.
Diversification is still your best friend in 2026. Hedge fund IPOs can be a piece of the puzzle, but they're not a magic bullet.
That's all the time we have for today's Q&A. Thanks to everyone who sent in questions. Keep them coming. We love hearing what's on your mind.
And remember, whether you're a data geek or a skeptic, we're here to help you make sense of the chaos. Stay curious, stay informed, and we'll see you next week on Vasper Today.